Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my friends. JT DeBoltz with you today for the MOB Daily Power-Up Call. Great to be with you on a Wednesday morning. Middle of another big week here in the MOB community, and grateful as always to be with you. I say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Whatever time it is for you, no matter where you might be tuning in from on the Big Blue Marble, thank you for joining me here each and every single Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Great privilege and an honor, a lot of fun, and man, I was looking forward to today because it was something that came up just, you know, conversationally, some, you know, a thought that had passed through my mind, and I was like, you know what, I got to share this with my high altitude peeps. When I was 8 years old, I had chores. Now, my son is 8, and he has chores. My daughter, who's 11, she has chores. She's had chores since she was probably 6 or 7 years old. In fact, both kids started doing chores at a relatively early age. I don't know if 6 or 7 is early. It doesn't really matter. The point is that they're about the same age that I was when I started having chores. Now, some of the chores I had was I washed dishes. I was in charge of doing the dishes. And when you did dishes in our house, you didn't just wash the dishes. You cleared the table. You wiped down all the counters. The kitchen was basically immaculate when you were all done with it. So that's what I started doing when I was 8. I also pulled weeds. In fact, I didn't just pull weeds in our yard. I also went out and I did it for people in the neighborhood. I also cleaned my room. Now, of course, anything I did in the house, whether it was cleaning my room, making my bed, pulling weeds, washing dishes, I did not get an allowance for. I didn't get paid money for that. And you might think that's strange, especially this day and age when it feels like we have to get paid for every little thing we do. But as a kid, that's just how I rolled. You just contributed to the family. That was your contribution. My parents, they made money. And, you know, my mom and stepmom, they did the laundry. And there was, you know, my dad did this kind of stuff. And my job was to do this. Now, I was also the oldest of 4. So I've always had a work ethic. The oldest of 4, I kind of had that sense of responsibility. And who knows, you know, being a firstborn, I guess it's just sort of innate, but whatever. But I also had an attention to detail. I loved doing a great job. I loved the finer details. When I got older and I started mowing the lawn, I loved to not just pull weeds, but also to edge between the sidewalk and the grass. I loved to make everything look really great and clean up all the clippings and sweep and you know, do the leaf blower and scrape up all the leaves and stuff like that. Like, to me, that was cool. Attention to detail. I was also a self-starter. Very rarely did I have to be told to do my stuff, to do my chores. And I actually loved the process. There was something about that sense of hard work and discipline that really paid off. It was rarely about the money. Even when I started getting an allowance, it just wasn't about the money for me. Now, I share this with you not to make my childhood seem like something that it's not or something that it should be. It's just to share with some perspective. I remember watching a video of actor Ashton Kutcher. Maybe you've seen him. He's been on a couple of movies. He's kind of a goofball. But he was winning an award. It was like this Teen Choice Award or something like that for Nickelodeon or some TV program for kids. And he was winning an award. And he said something really interesting. Now imagine this. He's a younger actor. And he's speaking to a younger crowd. It would have been easy to go up there and go, hey, you know, it's awesome. Go live your dreams and chase your passion, chase your bliss, blah, blah, blah. But he said something that to me was profound. He said, opportunity looks like hard work. I never had a job that was better than me. Sexy is about being smart. Sexy is about being thoughtful. And sexy is about being generous. Holy crap, a Hollywood actor said that to a room full of, you know, kids, tweeners, you know, kids that are probably 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that age group, maybe a couple of teenagers sprinkled in there. I thought that was remarkable. Because instead of it being about the swag, instead of it about being the attitude, instead of it about being how cool and how tough you are, it was about being smart. It was about being thoughtful. It was about being generous. It was about being humble enough to know that even being a dishwasher or being a janitor is okay, if that's what it takes to get you to that next level. A lot of great opportunities in life come because of the hard work. Listen, I remember flight school. I wanted to fly in the Navy so bad. But if you think about the stigma attached to military aviation, naval aviation alone, there's the stigma that you've got to be the top best of the best. And it's true. I mean, the attrition rate for flight school, you've heard me say this, was over 80%. Over 80% of the people that I started flight school with never made it, never saw graduation. And these were people from like MIT, the Naval Academy, Harvard, Stanford, you name it, the best schools in the country. And there they were, dropping left and right, and there I was graduating. Crazy. Now, how did I get to flight school? First and foremost, I was washing dishes. I was a dishwasher in a restaurant. I was an auto mechanic. I used to change oil and rotate tires in a car shop, you know, an auto shop. I also dug ditches. I literally dug ditches in a construction firm. None of those occupations were beneath me. I knew that there were steps that I had to take to get to that next level. And that work ethic has translated into the entrepreneur side. I remember when we first, back in 2000, I think I want to say 2009 or 10, we were struggling so bad in our business, so bad. And we didn't have money for marketing. We had burned through so much money, we did not have any marketing money. And so what my wife did is she stayed up like two nights without sleep, and she went to every single real estate website in our town. She found every single real estate agent and made a spreadsheet with their cell phone numbers. Now, at the time, 2009, 2010, in the town we lived in, the real estate market was terrible. And so all these real estate agents, they're having a hard time making ends meet. And at the time, we were in an MLM. We were in this network marketing company. And she gave me this spreadsheet, about 5,000 numbers, cell phone numbers and office numbers, and said, "Go for it, big guy." And I spent about 4 months smiling and dialing, cold calling these people. Tons of rejection, tons of disconnected numbers because these real estate agents had gone out of business. They couldn't pay their cell phone bill, so the number was no longer good, right? A lot of disappointment. I remember speaking to small and very unresponsive crowds when I first started my speaking career. You know, going to these small little groups, there's like 10 or 15 people. I get done doing it, and I get the little golf clap, you know, the like slow clap, like, "Wow, that was really great. Thanks, man. Ladies and gentlemen, JT DeBolt." And then I'd leave the room, and it'd be like nothing. I remember doing my thing for little or no pay. I remember being a coach and making like $150 a month to coach. It's ridiculous. Oh, well, it's not ridiculous. It is what it is. My point is this, is that we all have the opportunities that come up to us, but sometimes it's disguised in this stuff that is not sexy. It's not what you see all these marketers out there promoting and pumping you full of. It's not always about the flash. It's not always about the private jet and the cars. "Hey, let me take you for a little drive in my car while I make a video and talk to you and multitask without ever really looking at you. I'm looking at my car because it's important for you to see my car," right? That stuff is great. If you want to fall for that, if you want to have that in as your little guru teacher, that's cool. But what I'm telling you right now is that opportunities are often disguised in very humble clothes. Benjamin Franklin used to say that, right? Opportunities dress like coveralls. That's why nobody ever notices it. The key things are this. Get clear on what it is you want, then go all in to make it happen. Whatever it takes. It's so important to understand this, that sometimes whatever it takes is not fun. Sometimes whatever it takes is not sexy. Sometimes doing whatever it takes means that you have to make those sacrifices. You have to do those things that may seem beneath you. But remember what Ashton Kutcher said. There's no job that's beneath you. There's no job that you are better than. And when you think about it that way, that is the ultimate dedication, the ultimate devotion to your dream. I can tell you there were times where I was so embarrassed. I had former colleagues that were flying in the Navy, and I'd see them on Facebook. They just got hired by some big airline, and they were sitting in a nice hotel, and they were having drinks, and they were, you know, flying over Singapore or flying over Hong Kong, and I'm thinking to myself, "God, I'm stuck in this crappy little town. I just got done speaking to 12 people. Nobody cared. One person was pissed off because they thought I was going to come in there and blah, blah, blah." And I remember feeling like dejected from that. I remember knocking door to door to door to door on businesses day in and day out trying to sell my services to them. And I remember just that look of like that blank stare, like the person's like, "You're wasting my time, go away," as if I had leprosy. Listen, the key to it is this, is that you get clear on what it is you want, then you go all in and don't worry about the rejection. It's going to suck. It's going to happen. But guess what? The more you get in front of that thing, whatever it is, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of whatever it is, pretty soon you become inoculated to it. It's not that you don't know it's there. It's not that you're indifferent to it. It just means that it doesn't sting you. You own it. It doesn't own you. Next is you got to get clear on your why. You've heard me talking about this forever. But when you're clear on your why, then you can sustain those barbs and insults. You can sustain that slow pace that sucks, and you're saying, man, when is this ever going to break? When am I going to get my big break? You can make those 5,000 cold calls. And by the way, for the record, I was not any kind of a rock star. Albeit, a lot of those numbers were, you know, out of order. But I still got people that answered the phone, and I still got my, you know, got hung up on, and I still got people that didn't return my messages, because a lot of times it would go to voicemail and they wouldn't return. And even though I call them like 5 or 6 or 7 times, they still wouldn't call me back. And then when I finally talk to them, I get some smug answer or some smug response. It happened. And in all that time, 4 months, I made one sale that rendered me $500. Was it worth it? Was it worth 4.5 or 4 months of effort and going hoarse on the phone? You're damn right. Because now I have no fear of phone sales or rejection. I have no fear of going in and saying to somebody, hey, I've got this awesome thing, and I think you'll love it. It doesn't mean I still don't get my game face on. It still doesn't mean that I'm like, whoa, this is pretty serious, because I'm walking into a big corporation to demonstrate to them that I can help them with my services. But I can tell you this right now. I wouldn't trade that for anything. That was some of the best work, the best graduate level work I had to get in working with fear, the best graduate level work I had to get with being a professional entrepreneur. Opportunities disguise is this. Sometimes it's that stuff you got to do that you don't want to do. You do the hard work, including the stuff that sucks, including the stuff that's not fun, including the stuff that other people tell you, oh, I don't do that. Now, to this day, do I do a lot of cold calling? No, I don't, because I found more efficient ways to do it. But I'm glad I did the cold calling, because now I have a greater, deeper respect for it. I have an admiration for my own craft. I have a true, I understand that it's a profession now. It's not some kind of doodad, sounds like a good idea, hope it works out type of hobby. The key to this, my friends, is to be sexy. And I'm not talking about flashy and showy. I'm talking about Ashton Kutcher's version of sexy. That's smart, thoughtful, and generous. If you're smart, thoughtful, and generous, you can do amazing things in this world. You can help a lot of people. When you're smart, that means you figure things out. It doesn't mean you're book smart. It doesn't mean you've got a high IQ. It means that you have the ability to connect with people, to ask better questions, to try to understand them. It means that you've put the work in, the hours, like I talked about yesterday, with becoming really great at your craft, understanding your business model, understanding your products, your services, understanding exactly what it is that what you do does for other people. That's called being smart. Understanding your business model, understanding your numbers, understanding the money that's coming in and the money that's going out. Not just sitting on another webinar, not just listening to some other person pass some motivational meme to help you feel better, but to actually doing the work that counts. That's being smart. Being thoughtful is huge. You've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it until the day I can't say it anymore. I would rather see you have a relational business than transactional. There's enough people out there being transactional. In fact, it's not even 10 to 1. It's probably 100 to 1. 100 people to 1 are being transactional. They don't want to build relationships. They just want to make the money. They don't care about you. They don't care about anybody. All they care about is their click-through rate. They care about their conversions on their websites and their marketing. They care about how much money they've made because they're obsessed with it. They're scared. That's all they care about. Oh, sure, they'll tell you, listen, I'm here to change lives. I'm here to make people's lives better. But God, if I don't make some money soon, if I don't make a sale soon, they said I'd get my ROI by now. That's their mindset? That's not being thoughtful. That's being self-centered. Be very careful of those people. Don't spend a lot of time with them. But be a thoughtful person. And be generous. Being generous does not mean you give stuff away for free. I had somebody say this to me one time. Hey, if you're such a generous guy, why don't you coach me for free? Doesn't work that way, champ. We both have to have skin in the game. My skin is giving my time and my talent to what I do. Your skin in the game is to pay the fee to pay the price of admission. And that's not just with your checkbook. It's also with your time. It's also with your follow-through. And that's so important. Being generous means you give more than you get. If somebody pays you $10,000, you give them $12,000, $15,000, $100,000 in return in what you do. It doesn't mean giving away the farm. It means having an attitude that there's abundance for all of us. There's plenty for all of us. I hear these personal development gurus, people in my industry, talk about abundance. And yet, you reach out to them and say, hey, you want to share best practices? They're like, nope, you're competition. Well, that's too bad you see it that way, because I'm going to kick your ass. And the reason I'm going to kick your ass is because I believe differently, and I am my truest, biggest competition. Now, I believe in competition. I believe in other people. I know that there are people out there that are much more accomplished, have bigger lists, have bigger followings, and all this kind of, I get that. But if you have an attitude like that, it's a very limited belief system. And there's a lot of top earners and a lot of big dogs out there that think like that. But don't be that kind of person. Don't succumb to that. Realize this, that hard work, dedication, attention to detail, discipline, follow through, those are the kinds of things that will help you get where you want to be in life. You will have the greatest results. You'll have the greatest success. But more importantly, you will feel great about it. You'll be stoked. You'll be pumped. You'll be not just financially wealthy, but you'll be emotionally, mentally, spiritually wealthy as well. This will be your dream business. Isn't that what you're here for? Are you here to build your dream business, or is this just kind of a hobby? We're going to kick the tires and see if it works out. If you're one of those people, then maybe this isn't for you. But if you're somebody who you're here to build your dream business, if you're here to make an impact, not just in your life, but in the life of other people, and you're 100% committed to being smart, to being thoughtful, to being generous, to getting clear on what you want, to going all in, making it happen, whatever it takes, then you're in the right place. And now's the time to go get it. Today and every single day, commit yourself to not just being awesome, not just being great, but being better than you were today, improving on where you were yesterday. Make today better than yesterday, make tomorrow better than today. When you have that commitment, my friend, you will be unstoppable. An opportunity will continue to knock on your door today and every single day. My friends, this call is a wrap. It's my privilege to come at you here on the Moab Daily Power-Up Call each and every single Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow. And remember, no matter what course you fly in life, fly high, fly fast, and fly far. We'll talk to you tomorrow.